Let's pray. God, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, that you are going to provide for us, even when we have worried beyond anything we could have imagined. We thank you that you are there, God, in providing for our needs that we don't even see right now. And we ask that as we discuss today, God, what it looks like to trust you, even in the middle of our worry, that we will realize we don't have to let worry win this war, and we can give it to you. As we open your word, may you be with us today and speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, so it's good to see everyone today. If I haven't met you just yet, my name is Aaron Farley. I am over our student ministry, the high school and middle school ministry here at Sagebrush. It's called Remix, and I love it. It's an incredible place to be. Every year, we really kick things off for Remix, though, right at the start of summer. July 17th through 19th this year, we have got our rally conference. If you are a high school or middle schooler, or if you know someone who might be, we would absolutely love to see them get signed up for this conference we're gonna have. It is 3 days, and our goal is to make it the most unforgettable 3 days of your entire summer. We have tons of fun, games, giveaways, everything you can possibly imagine. There's like middle schoolers hanging from the roof during this thing, okay? It's awesome. And during this conference, we always have a time for people to make a decision for Jesus. So we love to see any of your students, family, or friends sign up for this event. Or hey, if you're looking for a place to serve this summer, come check out Remix. It is a ton of fun and it's a little bit wild, but I know that God can use you in this ministry. Today though, I am privileged to talk with you guys, kicking off a new series for the next few weeks called What If? And we are playing off this idea that you've probably seen on Marvel or, I don't know, like the Twilight Zone, any mixture of old sci-fi TV shows, where they always have that one episode. They go back in time and they ask this question, what if we just change one small thing, how different will our entire future be, right? This series is gonna be on the idea, what if we obeyed Jesus's words? If we'd simply obey his words, how different would all of our life be? And today, as you might have gotten from that song, our question will be this, what if we obey Jesus' words and stopped worrying? Doesn't that sound nice? No worry in the world, a little pep in your step, having a great time, feeling like you're in middle school again, like life has got no problems and you are good to go. Wouldn't that be great? Today, I wanna talk about how we have some real serious worries. Before we get there, I first wanna open with a few irrational worries, okay? I know I have some irrational worries in my life, and a lot of them stem from these two apps. I don't know if you have these apps on your phone. One is called the Ring Neighbors app and the other is the Nextdoor app. For anybody who doesn't know what this is, all right, these apps are made for when you are in your neighborhood, you're asleep at night, whatever. Somebody can type on there a quick notification and let you know someone's looking in, you know, their house, or they've got flashlights going into their car. And so you don't really have to freak out. You can go make sure your doors are locked or you're good to go. So my wife and I, we downloaded this app. We thought, hey, this is gonna be incredible. We got nothing to worry about because we are only going to get important notifications that'll tell us when things go wrong, okay? Needless to say, that's not what happens. Most of the time, it's somebody's dog Fido stole their DoorDash order off their front porch, and they had to let everybody know, right? I don't know what's going on. Let me show you a few irrational worries that this app might do to you. Okay, check this one out. It says, is this a coyote? It might just be the angle, but it looks bigger than a coyote to me. It ate all the couch cushions off my patio furniture. I'm like, brother, you don't have anything to worry about someone breaking into your house. You first need to get your eyes checked, okay? Like, that might be an elk, a moose. Santa might even came early. That might be a reindeer. That is not a coyote. I don't know what dog park this guy's going to. Now, this next one's illegal, so don't get any ideas if you're grilling out this summer. It says this, to whoever did this, it's a federal offense, okay? I'm like, we didn't need that in the notifications, guys. All right, how did this even happen? Somebody's out at a barbecue and they got a hot dog in one hand, got to catch a football. They're like, what would make a good temporary plate? Oh, I know, my mailbox, right? Throw a hot dog in there. The true crime here, though, is that the mailman delivered the mail on top of the hot dog. I'm like, that had to be FedEx, okay? That was not UPS or Amazon Prime. All right, no, I'm joking. Even in Albuquerque, we have some very interesting notifications. I moved here from the Southeast, I don't know, about 3 years ago now. When I moved here, it was to my surprise to find that in Corrales, I guess people are not breeding puppies. They must be breeding peacocks. Because every other day, there is a notification. There's a peacock on someone's doorstep. And I'm like, guys, they originate in India. I don't know what they are doing in the Southwest with us. Like, I don't know what's going on over here. And my last one, the fan favorite, the question you're going to see every day, probably two or three times a day. If you have this app, I wouldn't be shocked if you get it while you're in service. They ask this question, was it gunshots or fireworks? If you live in Albuquerque, I've got bad news. Unless it's July 4th, It was gunshots, all right? And so you need to just be in prayer and close the doors. No, for real, guys, we have irrational worries. Those were a little bit of fun. But all of us, we have serious worries in life, don't we? Hey, just for a minute, would you play along with me? I know you don't know me real well, but just for a second, just put your hand out. It could be by your side or just in front of your face. Some of you are already worried. You're like, what is he about to have us do? You definitely need this message, if so, okay? Just for a minute, though, hold your hand out. I'm going to name off a small list. As I name things off this list, if this has ever overwhelmed you or worried you, I just want you to put a finger down, okay? Play along with me just for a moment. Maybe for some of us, it's the upcoming election this year, all right? A lot of fingers went down. Could be health concerns for you or a loved one. Maybe it's a financial issue that you've been dealing with and no one really knows about. Could be threats of wars we see all over social media and TV has got you freaking out. Maybe it's the need of your child. Maybe it's the need of your fast-paced job. Could be AI or the speed of technology that is freaking you out for our future. Maybe for a lot of us, it's your credit score, some debt that you found yourself in. Could be an impending deadline. You've been so overwhelmed, you've been procrastinating it, and worry is winning the battle for you. Maybe for a lot of us, something no one knows about. Just between you and a spouse or you and someone else, and something's going on that's keeping you up at night, but worry is winning for you. I don't know how many fingers you put down, but all mine are down, and they're starting to wiggle a little bit because I need a few more, right? My blood pressure is rising as we named that list. I sound like a health insurance agent trying to get you on our biggest policy, okay? Like, that's what worry does to us. It'll affect our life. It'll affect our mind. I like how author Summer Roche says it. They say this, worry is like a thin stream of fear trickling through the mind. If encouraged, it cuts a channel into which all thoughts are drained. Isn't that what worry will do? It'll get in your mind. It'll start messing you up. You'll lose sleep. You'll lose joy. You might even start trading your worry for faith. All of a sudden, you're doubting your faith in God because you have so much worry, you don't even know where he's at. If worry compounds, it turns into stress, fear, anxiety, and maybe at its worst, even depression. Now, I know there's many of you hearing me today. As you listen to this message, you know you're struggling with some worry. You know, we joked a little bit, but there's some real things for you. As we have this conversation, I want you to know this. See, God doesn't want to work in confusion. God doesn't want us to worry. He wants us to be able to leave here and hear this message and say, hey, I know how I can combat worry in my life and trust God instead. He wants us to feel confidence and hope and have a life that is abundant. So how do we do that? Well, what if we listen to Jesus' words? Matthew 6 is what we're going to read today. It's the Sermon on the Mount, which is the longest sermon Jesus ever preached, so we should probably pay attention, okay? And in this message, we're just going to read a few small parts, but we're going to ask ourselves, how can we learn to fight against worry in our own lives? Let's check this out. It says, that's why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you've got enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? I mean, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries even add a single moment to your life? Why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. If God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Because our first lesson that we're going to learn today is we've got to replace life's what ifs with God's what is. Let me say that again. If you're taking notes, if you're writing it in your app or whatever, we've got to replace the what ifs in this life with what God is actually doing. In these verses, Jesus is teaching that he even cares about the birds in the sky or the grass on the ground. When was the last time you even thought about the birds or the grass? Maybe that time the pigeon flew over your truck and pooped on it after you just got it washed, right? Like that's the last time we thought about it. Or the weeds growing in our front yard that we got to dig out again this summer. We might think about them, but we certainly do not care about them. Jesus not only thinks about these very small things in the back of our mind, he loves them and even cares about them. So how much more will he care about me and you? His prized possession. As Ephesians 2 says, his workmanship, his children, his friends. See, God sees us and loves us and cares about you no matter what worry you're facing today. But the problem is we let a what if questions fill our minds. See, Jesus is preaching that day, and as he is, he sees this congregation, he sees the sea of faces. Of course, he has the hindsight of knowing their thoughts. He knew people showed up that day thinking, you know what? What if I can't get through this week or month? What if I don't have enough to eat or drink? What if my family can't make it? What if I can't make it? What if I can't get the nice enough clothes like everyone else has and we're laughed at? They're having all these worries flood their minds. Don't we all do this? It's so rare that we'll ask, well, what if God actually takes care of me? You know, what if God does come through? What if in the nick of time, all of a sudden, God shows up and in a moment, everything changes for me and my life goes, no, we don't ask those questions. We ask, hey, what if I don't get the perfect house, the perfect spouse, my kids, everything just go exactly as planned? What if the money doesn't come? What if, you know, I don't know, what if I don't have the 401k in order? We ask question after question, doubting God and his best intentions for our lives. We've all been guilty of this. And when these negative what if questions are coming through our mind, we're already beginning to lose this battle against worry. Pastor Louis Giglio talks about his story and the war on worry. Here's what he says. The enemy loves to utilize the weapon of what if. Instead of fixating on the what ifs, commit right now to acknowledging that God has already provided us with the truth of what is. God does not deal in confusion. He doesn't leave things to chance. He's never unsure of the final outcome. Did we catch that today? See, God doesn't work in these what ifs that we work with. God is working in what he's already been doing and has done in our lives. These verses we are reading, Jesus is saying, hey, I even care about the birds and the grass on the ground, you know, like the stuff that hardly even has a brain to think about worrying the next day. And if he's gonna care about those things, how much he's gonna care about his most intelligent creation, his children? God is doing so many incredible things. Today, no matter what you're struggling or feeling in your heart, no matter what worry you came in with, I want you to just think about on your worst day, how much is God caring about you? On your worst day, I believe this, that God is still seeing and hearing your prayers. I believe that God gave you a chance to get up today because you're hearing this message. He gave you another chance. The Bible says God will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will be our strength, our peace, our comfort, our help. You do not have to go through this life alone. He can help you in anything you are struggling with. That's the God we serve. That's who God is. And we worry about all these what ifs, but what is God doing? Man, if you're struggling with worry today and it has been eating your mind up, if you catch nothing else I said, if you're already thinking about what you're gonna eat, I get it, all right? But here's the thing, I want you to catch this today. God lovingly, desperately cares about you. That's the God you serve. Second point I want us to get to today is we've got to replace the worried thoughts with godly thoughts. Jesus keeps teaching. Here's what he says. It's actually a little bit before the part we just read. It kind of sets us up to understand why we might be tempted to worry. He says, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust will destroy them, where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Your eyes like a lamp that provides light for your whole body. When your eyes healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eyes unhealthy, your whole body will be filled with darkness. If the light you think you have is actually darkness, then how deep that darkness is. See, no one can serve two masters. You'll hate one, you'll love the other. You'll be devoted to one, you'll despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. All of a sudden, Jesus is teaching something that I think a lot of us know, but unfortunately, we're probably guilty of going against. He's reminded the number one reason that we probably worry is because we're putting all of our trust, hope, and priorities probably on the wrong things. See, we're all worried. I mean, the people that are hearing this message, they were worried about the treasures on this earth, how great the money could be, how big the bank account, how nice the house, how, you know, of a job, how good it could look, how great the resume. I think we're all just going through life trying to get to this next amazing and great thing. See, we're worried about things that are here today, but they're gone tomorrow, and all of our joy is kind of sliding down there with it. Why do we do this? We got to have this new, greatest, best, amazing thing just to, in, I don't know, 3-5 years have to get it again or something else new and greatest and best. See, we've sold ourselves on this idea. We've tried to buy this idea that this is what's finally going to satisfy. This is what's finally going to help. This is what's finally going to solve all of life's problems. This void I've been feeling, if I can just get this, then my needs will be met. And see, unfortunately, there's really only one source that's going to do that. We've been idolizing everything else, but we've been putting anything on the throne that God deserves for our heart, we're gonna feel more empty than we did when we started. See, I think a lot of times we're so worried about things that won't even make it to eternity, we've forgotten to focus on the eternal God who made them. And so Jesus teaches this, just what we were singing about in that song. He says, so don't worry about these things, saying, what do we eat? What do we drink? What do we wear? These things, they dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father, he already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Man, right here, Jesus flips the whole conversation. He said, hey guys, you've been worrying and trusting and giving your hope and prayers to all these wrong things. You've been idolizing everything else.
He's explaining that when our worry is wrapped up in all the things that the rest of the world is worried about, well, guess what? We're gonna be in trouble. We're gonna have moments of worry and pain because we've traded our worry for faith. We traded our faith for worry. We're out of place here. All of a sudden, we've made ourselves like those who don't even believe in God. This whole message today, this idea of fighting against worry, it kind of makes me illustrate, like, thinking of a boxer, you know? I've never boxed. I mean, I've almost been knocked out in my friend's backyard doing fight night a couple of times, but I've never actually boxed. But I've seen enough Rocky movies and watched enough fights to get the general idea of what's going on, right? You always have the backstory of why this boxer's there, his family, something from his past, his kids, whatever it might be. But the boxer's in the moment, and at the final scene or whatever, in the last lap, he's in this moment, in the last, you know, match, and all of a sudden he goes over to the corner. What I find interesting is when he goes to the corner to get that advice or that help or that pick-me-up, honestly, his kids, his family, whatever his motivation, it's typically not there. That spot is reserved for the trainer, for the coach, the one who poured their blood, sweat, and tears literally into this fight. They know when to pick that boxer up. They know when to smack him around. They know exactly what to tell him to get back out there, and oftentimes then that coach makes all the difference for them winning the battle that day, the fight, the war that day. See, in our lives, going back to us, in this battle that we are against worry, this fight that we're in, if we have been trusting our life into all these wrong things, focusing all our priorities on what this world has to offer in the materialism of this life, if that's the life we've been fighting, when we go back into the corner, who do we think the coach is that's waiting on us? It's the enemy. We've made ourselves like those who don't even believe in God. And all of a sudden, we go back over. We go back over to this spot. And the enemy, he starts filling our mind. He's been waiting for us, man. The Bible says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's all he wants. Fill our minds with dread and fear and pain and worry and missed opportunities. Maybe that's why it's been compounding so bad. We've been putting our faith and trust in all the wrong things. So what do we do? How do we get ourselves back to this coach, the guide that'll help us win this battle, that'll get us in the right moment, that'll get us in the fight to go against it all? It's when we seek first the kingdom of God. We put his plans, his priorities, when we go after Jesus first and his calling, when we ask him in prayer to shape our priorities again to understand who he is, all of a sudden we're ready to go to battle against worry. And God's word is full of verses that teach us this. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we demolish every argument and pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. What does that look like for you to do that? How can we practically take these worries and give them to God and move forward? Well, today, maybe you just have an example of something off that list I named that you've been dealing with. Just give a name to it right now. And this week in your life, when that worried thought, when that sleepless night, when that moment you're having the breakdown in the car happens again, you say, hey, God, this financial crisis I'm dealing with, I have been dealing with it and dealing with it and trying and going after it, but I can't anymore. God, I give it to you. God, this financial struggle, this debt I'm in, this thing that's going on with my kid, this stuff that's happened in my family, God, I don't know how, I don't know why, but God, I give it to you. I trust it to you. God, I know you're able. I know you're bigger. I know you're better. I know you can do more than what I can ask and think, so it's off my plate and it's in your hands. That's what it looks like to begin to take that doubt. Give it to God and trust him and let him overcome this worry for you. Philippians 4:6-7, another incredible verse. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as we live in Christ Jesus. Friends, what we are praying about today is what we're trusting God to do. What we're worrying about today is, unfortunately, what we're trusting ourselves to do. We can pray or we can worry, but which one do you think is going to get us to that result we want? We've got to take these things to God. We've got to ask him to reshape our perspective, reshape our priorities, and in these moments of prayer, be ready to go to battle against the worry that's been overcoming our mind. And the last step that Jesus gives is we got to learn to live our life one day at a time. See, maybe I've been saying all this and it sounded like so confident and so hopeful, and you're like, man, I'm really struggling with worry. I want to get out of it, but I don't know that I can do all this that easily. Can you promise me you'll give it one more day? You'll keep fighting today. You'll go one foot in front of the other. Jesus ends this part of the passage in verse 34, and he says, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble, it's enough for today. The worries that you have had in your mind that are 3, 6 months, a year, 2 years, 5, 10 years from now, man, don't even let those begin to have a place in your mind. Jesus is reminding us that those are things that the future you has to handle, okay? Today is enough trouble for today. You just start going to God. You start asking him to help you. You start asking him to remind you how you can put one foot in front of the other. And as you do, you're having that coach guide and direct your life so much that now you are ready and you are prepared that when that future you and that time and that worry comes, let's be honest, Jesus even tells us is going to happen. It's not an if, it's a when. Worry is coming whether we want it or not. That temptation is always going to exist. But what are we going to do with it? We can take it one day at a time. Promise me. You'll fight another day. You'll go one day at a time, one foot in front of the other. Now this message, it was kind of birthed out of a personal thing that I've been going through in my own life. Let me just give you a timeline of some things that have been happening for me. In January, just a couple months ago, I found out that I'd be speaking this message. And when I first of all got past the irony that I had to try to write a message about how not to worry, and as most of you know, like public speaking is a pretty big fear, right? Like it's kind of like, okay, well, you know, let me give this a shot. But I started thinking about it, and I started praying about it. And actually, I started talking to my wife. I said, you know, actually, I think this is good. I know some pretty good verses about worry, like maybe I can help somebody. And my wife and I have been in ministry for 8 years, trying to follow God for a lot of my life. Like, hopefully, you know, this seems like a pretty good topic. I think I've learned this lesson. I think I've got it. As soon as you think that, life has an interesting way of messing with you, doesn't it? A couple days later, I come home on a Wednesday, Thursday afternoon, and my wife's crying on the floor, alligator tears. But she stands up and she hands me this thing that kind of looks like a magic marker, but in the middle is a little digital screen saying, you know, she's pregnant. And what a shock, right? Like, we had not planned, we had not prepared. I don't want to go into too much detail, but it was going to be a first birthday surprise, right? Like, this was not on the radar this year. Like, we were like, okay, wow, here we go. Of course, we were excited, but if you've ever been an expecting parent, like, I think every what if question you could ever ask is just blazing through my mind. At least all the dads in the room are like, yeah, I get it, brother, right? In that moment, I'm thinking, what if I'm not ready for this? What if I'm not gonna be a good dad? What if I screw this kid's life up? What if we don't know how to build a nursery? I definitely don't know how to change a diaper, you know? Like, I'm like, how broke am I gonna be for the next 18 years? How much sleep am I about to lose? Like, there's a lot of things going through my mind. But of course, there's that serious question of like, man, well, what if there's any kind of health concern or issue for my wife or for this future child? And you don't want to think that, but for me, I had known a lot of family members and friends who had some struggles with this, and so that was in my mind. And like I said, I'm usually pretty confident. I usually don't struggle too much with worry, but for whatever reason, that just kept eating away at me, and I don't know why, but it just kept getting at me, and every time my wife and I would be apart for a little while, whatever it was, it would really just start affecting me, and I'd call her and make sure things were okay. It was just like something had kicked in that I couldn't control. Worry was starting to win for me on a daily basis. But then all of a sudden, things were starting to look up. Couple days, couple weeks pass. You know, time is happening. Time is healing all. And you're like, hey, this is going well. I have nothing to worry about. You know, we can do this. We can handle this. And you go into that first ultrasound and you see this little blob on the screen that is your baby, right? And in that moment, it's like your whole heart jumps. Your whole heart races. My wife and I have the biggest smiles we've ever had in our life. We grab hands as we're going out of this hospital together. I mean, out of the doctor's office together. Like, things are feeling great. Nothing can stop us. We go and we have a nice lunch. And I think it was at Taco Bell, but don't judge us for that, all right? And we go out and we have some fun. We're just having a great time. And we're starting to name the baby. We're thinking of baby names. We're thinking of how we're gonna decorate. We're thinking of everything we could ever imagine. It's just like, man, things are going just like we expected. And for weeks, everything is so perfect until the next ultrasound. And we go in. All totally unexpected, man. Everything was going just like we thought. There was now no issues, no problems. All my worry had subsided. But I remember probably one of the clearest memories I'll carry with me for the rest of my life. As I sat on this little chair in the corner and my wife is sitting there on the medical table and the doctor comes in to explain to you how you're having a miscarriage. And in that moment, your wife's crying her eyes out and your heart drops to the floor. You went in that room one way, but now the question is, how are you gonna leave that room? And the same doctor's office just a couple weeks ago, we were happy-go-lucky and skipping out of. Now you're holding hands with your wife, not sure what to say, not sure what to do, not sure how to help her, not even to know what you do yourself. Holding hands, and as your wife is bawling her eyes out, there's all these other expecting parents just having a great time, and you're just not sure even what to feel. You feel like a shell of yourself walking out that door, seeing it all in slow motion. We get in the truck, and the what if questions have turned to a lot worse now. God, why us? God, why? I mean, what did we do? Did we do something wrong? Is this going to happen for us? You know, what's next? How are we going to make some of these decisions that we are now faced with? God, where are you at in this? I mean, everything you can imagine, the worst possible thoughts I think can go through your mind are flowing through our minds like I've never had. And to be really brutally honest with you guys, for days, weeks, months. We let worry begin to win the battle of our life every single day. You know, it's tough. You go a few days, things feel okay, and then you kind of have this breakdown. It's tough watching your wife cry herself to sleep for days on end. It's tough going through something like this when you thought you kind of had it figured out and you knew you could trust God, and all of a sudden you have the biggest test of your faith I think you'll ever experience. And things got even worse, man. Questions like, God, do you care? God, are you there? Why my wife? Why my child, God, of anything, God? I mean, how, why, what? I mean, you just can't even imagine the what of questions. And in this moment, as time began to progress, worry was winning that battle hard. I would say there were days we were on the brinks of some strong anxiety, maybe some depression. I mean, we didn't know what to do or where to go. As things kept going on, I don't know what day it was, I don't know exactly when, but eventually my wife and I started talking and we realized, hey, we're losing this battle against worry. But we were awful close, and we had to kind of come to a crossroads where we asked ourselves, but are we gonna lose this war? Is worry gonna take us out? Is the concern, the fear, the anxiety wrapped around what's happened, is it going to ruin us and our future and our hope and maybe in our eternity? Like, what are we gonna do now? How are we gonna get out of this? In that moment, not like I can give you this perfect solution of what we did, but we just started kind of saying, hey, when we're talking negative or getting frustrated or questioning God, we have to pause and stop ourselves and remind ourselves that although it's crazy and we don't know what to think right now, like, we live in a broken, sinful world and our God is bigger than that anyways. We had to remind ourselves that, hey, we don't feel like even understanding this, but we got to remind ourselves that this is truth. That if we're gonna follow God on our best day, we better follow him on our worst day. God's been better to us than we've ever deserved, even when we don't understand what he's doing. That we can take life day by day. It's easy to preach that. It's hard to live that, isn't it? When you're in the middle of it, in the thick of it, we had to hold each other accountable to actually telling each other how we're feeling and what was going on, to taking a break sometimes, to getting a little bit busier sometimes, doing something with our hands, whatever it would take, to just say, hey, we got to get through today. Can we promise tomorrow in 6 months? I don't know, but can we do today? Yes. So lastly, we can replace those worried thoughts with godly thoughts. And we began to read God's word. Now here's the deal. It's nice to read God's word and his goodness and his grace when life is on top of the world. It's pretty tough to read God's word when you're unsure where God's even at in your life in that moment. But we made ourselves and we said, hey, let's just pray and ask God to remind us that this is true. Even when we don't feel it or know how it is, we've just got to get ourselves back on track. We cannot lose this war on worry in our lives. Now I tell this story today because I know there's many of you who are struggling with something similar. First of all, something like a little over 1 in 4 women will deal with a miscarriage specifically. And I know there's many of you who relate so much to what I was just sharing. But if that's not your story, you definitely have a story. An unforeseen circumstance, a tragic accident. That day when worry smacks you in the face and your worst nightmare becomes your reality, you've got to figure out how you're going to live with. You thought you had it figured out, but now you don't. There's many hearing this who those sleepless nights and those days where you feel good for it all just come crashing down. Unfortunately, that's been all too similar. You relate with that a little too much right now. So my question is this. This war that you've been facing, this battle you've been facing, sounds to me like we've probably been losing this battle together, but today maybe we're at a crossroads. Maybe God's brought us here to realize that the battle might have been won, but the war is not over. You're at the crossroads today of asking yourself, are you gonna let worry take you out? Oh, how I wish I could tell you that God did some kind of miracle in our life, right? Wouldn't that be nice? Like a lot of sermons and messages in that God brought this baby to life and everything worked out just like we wanted. Wouldn't that be cool? But that's not what happened for us. We still had the circumstance, and even to this day, we still got some stuff we're wrestling with through all this, physically and mentally, everything. But I can tell you this, we still learned that we've got to trust God through every bit of it. Today, if you're at that crossroads and you're not sure what to do, I wish I could snap my fingers and fix it all for you. Man, I wish I could. But I can tell you, you can take it to the one who can. How do you do that? It's not gonna be as easy as it sounds. It's gonna be a process that we have to go through. It's gonna take some time, but it's doing exactly what we talked about today. Replacing all the what ifs in your life with what God is doing. Giving yourself the gift of perspective that even on our worst day, God has still done so much better. God, we don't deserve even the life that we have on this moment. That we may not understand it right now, but unfortunately the sin and brokenness of this world has tearing some things apart, but we can still trust our God through that. If we're gonna trust him on our best day, we better trust him on our worst day. You can get through this life by saying, you know what, promise me, just promise me you'll take it one day at a time. Can you guarantee tomorrow? You don't have to, just guarantee me today. And then tomorrow, go after tomorrow. But you can get through this life one day at a time by having those conversations. So lastly, you can get to a place where you replace those worried thoughts with godly thoughts. And for me and my wife, it was very brutal. Like I said, usually doing all the study and following God, trying to be a leader to so many people. But in these moments, I couldn't get myself to get where I was reading chapter after chapter, or doing this study or preparing for this. I just went to an old faithful that I know. I went to Psalm 23. If you've been trying to replace the worried thoughts in your mind with godly thoughts, just start here, man. Start with Psalms 23. Let's read it together today. It says this: "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And we'd take that verse and we'd read it each night before we went to bed. Or we read it each morning when we woke up. Sometimes we read it in the middle of the day and we just cut the TV off and we'd open God's word instead. We didn't know where to go or exactly what to say, but we just asked God to remind us that this was true even when we didn't quite feel like it that day. There's two audiences hearing me today. One, there's some of you who, as I've been talking about this hope and this faith and this future that can be found in Christ and in God, you don't even know it. You came as a last-ditch effort. You're hearing this message as a last moment for you to give this a shot. You have been losing this battle on worry, but you don't even know the light or the way or the resource out. If that is you, then today, I don't want you to leave this place. I don't want you to turn this stream off without a moment where you ask God to come in and begin to change things for you, where you get to know him. We have people at all of our lobbies. You can go out, decision counselors who would love nothing more, who came here today to pray and talk with you. So do not leave the threshold of the door of the room that you are in without going and talking to them if you're struggling with that. And two, I imagine there's a lot of you like myself, thought you were confident, thought you had it figured out. You thought everything was gonna go exactly like you planned, but worry is starting to win in your mind. The question today is, on that crossroad, are you gonna let worry win the war? My challenge to you is take Psalm 23, download it on your phone, save it as a screenshot, whatever you have to do, because here's the truth. Worry can either destroy your future or you can trust God with your worry. Let's not let the what-ifs keep winning for us. Let's trust who God is. Take this life one day at a time and replace those worried thoughts with godly thoughts. Let's pray. God, I show up every one of us today, Lord, in the middle of the thick of battle, God, and the struggles that every one of us face, God. Worry is not an if, it's a when. We pray that instead that we would trust you, that you'd help us replace those worried thoughts with godly thoughts, that we quit asking what if, and even when we don't see how, God, we trust the good of who you are and that God is going to do something amazing for us. Helps to take life one day at a time. And I know there's someone hearing me today, God, who desperately needed this message, who needed your hand to reach out, who needed to turn to your word. God, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for them and they would choose you. And the many of us who may know you, God, who are at that crossroads, helps not let worry win this war, but turn to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.